T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's gonna be funky. How come all the pretty girls like you are taken, baby? I've been looking for someone like you to save me. Life's too easy to be so damn complicated. Take your time and I'll be waiting. Keep me in mind.
We are back live. Hooters in Hialeah. And man, it is a nonstop cavalcade of listeners during the commercial break. So we're trying to take pictures and take care of everyone. And you can check the WQAM Instagram page, and I'll post a bunch of stuff on that throughout the afternoon. Like I said, Whittingham is coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. Hooters Hoops Hysteria. We are doing it, and we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Ira Winderman, who covers the Miami Heat and the NBA for the Sun Sentinel, is there. Hello, Ira.
Hello, gentlemen, amid the madness.
Yes, amid the madness. Where are you? I don't even know where the Heat are.
Way to come prepared with the show sheet.
Do you listen to my sports updates?
Hey, man, if you saw what I'm looking at right now, Ira, I can't even begin to tell you where we're situated, but it could not be any better.
I'm by the kitchen.
And you're in the wrong spot. I got the best side. I can't.
Speaking of.
I know. Go ahead. Where the hell are you, Ira?
Well, I know I'm in the wrong spot since I'm in Milwaukee. So I put Hawk number one, Channing number two, and me number three on the view list.
Well, you're a three seed. You're a three seed out of three.
Tonight, third game of the 4-game trip.
All right. So the Heat, they've been looking good, right? They've won 3 in a row. They had the win over San Antonio Wednesday. When we've talked with you in the past, you weren't a huge believer that they were still a playoff team or that they were a playoff team. Are you starting to change your mind?
Well, again, to me, and as I told you the last few times I've been on, it all came down to the schedule. And so when I looked at this upcoming schedule, I said to myself, okay, but they're not going to win in Oklahoma City, which they did on Monday, but they're not going to win in San Antonio, which they did on Wednesday. So that changed the equation. They still have the Bucks tonight. They still have the Wizards tomorrow. 2 games left against the Celtics, a game left against Philadelphia, a game left against Toronto. If they can play up to the competition, they'll be in better shape. But I still think their entire playoff future could come down to next Tuesday's home game against the Magic. It's a tiebreaker game. It's 2 games in the standing. It's their closest competitor. It probably is the biggest regular season game between the two teams in the Heat's 31 seasons.
Ira, me and Hawk, we were talking, I believe it was yesterday, about Spo figuring things out. He figures it out. He figures out his lineup. He locks in and figures out what the best lineups are year to year. But I always say it might take a little too long. It took him 50 games, and now we're saying, oh, he figures it out. Am I giving him too hard of a time to say it takes too long to adjust to these rosters and to these lineups?
Well, but even then, Channing, whether he's figured out or not, a lot of it is just forced by circumstance. I mean, when you play an 82-game schedule and you lose Goran Dragic for 2 months with knee surgery, all of a sudden you might as well look at Justice Winslow at point guard because you have no other choice. And when Hassan Whiteside goes out and is injured and you have to start Bam Adebayo, you sort of say to yourself, okay, that's a little bit interesting. I'm still not sure the rotation we're seeing right now with Dragic and Whiteside off the bench necessarily will be the playoff rotation. I know it sounds crazy, guys, but I think with 11 games left, he's still running through things and experimenting some things. And the fact that James Johnson has come back and played so well, I could see more of a role for him. So I think, like I said all season, when you have 12 equal parts, you know, you're going to remain fluid and honestly ride the hot hand.
But is that normal? 70 games in, he's still figuring it out? Like, that's what I was saying. Is that just normal, you know, NBA protocol, or is there something different going on?
Is it a positive or a negative that he seems to get everything flowing by the end of the season? Crowder says, well, then why can't he do it at the beginning of the season?
20 games in.
Well, this year to me is a little bit different for this reason, guys. this year, like I said, no other team has 12 equal parts. No other team can start Dwayne or play him off the bench, start Goran or play him off the bench. I mean, it's so mix and match, even with Justice out right now. But I think that's how Eric Spoelstra's mind works. He wants to see everything. He wants to figure everything out. There's a reason they have one of the best records over the last 5 years in the league in March, because it takes him a while, sort of, with this beautiful mind type of thing. Here's the difference. When he had the big three, it was plug and play with those three, and we just debated whether Mario Chalmers should start. I think if you gave this roster to 12 different NBA coaches, they probably would come up with 12 different rotations. That's why this is so hard. And think about this, guys. That's why at the trading deadline they thinned it out without Tyler Johnson and without Wayne Ellington, because it would be even more complex at the moment. I think Eric Spoelstra was basically given a Rubik's Cube to start the season, and only now is he sort of twisting those final pieces into play where he says, yeah, this is what works.
Ira Winderman is with us, covers the Heat in the NBA for the Sun Sentinel. Say a few words about Dwayne Wade, because I know Crowder certainly had doubts about what this season was going to be like and what he could possibly bring to a team at his age and his wear and tear, and he has been unbelievable as of late.
Yeah, and you know what? And that sort of goes back to what I just said. It's not like there was ever a hierarchy here where you said, these seven guys are better than Dwayne Wade, who's 37 years old. That's what the Cavaliers said exactly a year ago when they told Wade, you won't be in our rotation anymore. We have better players than you. But he'd never got to that point and couldn't get to that point. So basically, Dwayne was given an equal opportunity at 37 years old to show he's as good or better than the other guys in the rotation. And that's what he'd done. And it's been managed so well by Eric Spoelstra also. He never even was tempted to start Dwayne, so we didn't have to consider whether he could play him in the starting lineup, play him in back-to-back games, go with big minutes. Of all the guys in the rotation, really, Dwayne Wade might be the only guy all season, when you consider how Hassan and Goran and other guys have come and gone, that's been in the same role from game one. You will play about 24 minutes half the game. You will always be the first guy going to the scoring table unless there's foul trouble. This is your role. This is who you are. This is what you are. And I think it's really paid dividends because, you know what? When he went to Chicago, he didn't know what his role was. With Jimmy Butler and Rondo there, when he went to Cleveland, again, LeBron was the alpha. This, I think, is the first time since he settled in with the big three before he left in 2016 that he had a defined role. So I would credit Eric Spoelstra for setting something up from the get-go, and I would credit Dwayne Wade for sort of putting it all out there, not saving himself, not worrying how it looks like with the losing team and do I want to be part of this. This has been as good a farewell. Dave High just wrote a column for it in the Sun Sentinel. This isn't like Ichiro fading away at the very end to the point you forgot he was still playing. This is a guy who's going to be relevant until his final minutes, and it won't be like Kobe having to have that big last regular season game to remind who he was. He has all season for that.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did Dwayne pull this retirement trigger? Because I remember the big cactus when Shaq was in Phoenix and he was terrible. Mm-hmm. I just remember seeing guys, Jordan with the Wizards. Dwayne's not, he's not there. He's not embarrassing himself on the court.
No, exactly. And that's the thing, is it's not just Phoenix with Shaq. Then he went to Cleveland. Then he went to Boston. It's like the thing never ended, like he couldn't let go. So a lot of players, you're talking in the visiting locker room, are like saying, why is he going? He can still play. No, that's why he's going, because he still can play. And he's had 16 wonderful years, and he can do more, no offense, than to a guy like Udonis Haslam, where he's never been the locker room only guy and doesn't want to be that now. So he's found a way to write it. The Heat have found a way to write it for him. And at this point, it would be a real shame not to get that one national exposure, that last bit in the playoffs. Because you know what, guys? The Heat have not had a nationally televised game the entire second half of the season. He deserves that one more time.
Let me ask you something that I asked Brian Geltzeiler. Was it yesterday that we had him on? I think it was yesterday. Yeah, Brian Geltzeiler was on yesterday. Let me ask you your opinion on this. What is the narrative for LeBron James moving forward?
Well, I think it hasn't been written yet, because I said, even when I talked to you guys at the start of the season, this was his gap year. This was get everything set up in Hollywood, his production studios, all the things he was going to do on HBO and his ESPN Plus, and then he was going to get back to basketball next year, which is why he didn't mind when it was Rondo and Stevenson and Beasley and JaVale McGee. So I think LeBron has an entire different book let alone a new chapter coming out next season. But guys, here's what his legacy is going to be. His legacy will be in July. Can LeBron still recruit? Does he still have it when he went out? Because last summer he went out, and he went out fishing specifically for Paul George, and he couldn't get him, which is why he had a bunch of slugs playing alongside this season. Can he get someone this summer? I'm not so sure. So I think LeBron's legacy will be, does he go out as the guy that everyone wants to play with, or does he sort of go out as sort of that old guy that the league has sort of passed him by? Because if he doesn't get Durant and he doesn't get Kawhi, and he has to go to more of a second-tier kind of guy and wind up with Jimmy Butler, I think that will start, you know, spelling what his final legacy is going to be, and it won't be of a champion.
Ira, is it fair to say that LeBron's off-the-court stuff is affecting on the court? He's producing, he's directing, he's a show host, he has all kind of stuff. Like, should Magic Johnson talk to him and be like, hey, you might want to focus a little more on basketball? It seems like you're doing a lot outside of the game.
No one talks to LeBron James. When you sign LeBron James, you get all of his people. You get exactly what he wants and how he wants it. It drove Pat Riley to distraction here until Pat stepped in and said, hey, enough is enough. But that's exactly what it is. That's just the way it is with LeBron is you're not going to tell him. You're not going to tell him this summer who to bring in, who not to bring in. He's going to tell you. He's going to tell you how he's going to play, when he's going to play, what he's going to do off the court. And if you can't abide by that, then you never should have gotten into the marriage in the first place.
Somebody texts in, that's an interesting question, because I do not think he's going to revisit it, even though there's some social media hoopla. But do you think Dwayne Wade regrets announcing his retirement?
I think Dwayne never envisioned it this way, but again, when he spoke about it, it was all about the off the court. It was about his son's final year of high school coming up. It was his daughter being on the way that none of us knew at the time. So if those were the reasons, if it was all about family, family first, like the book he wrote, then no. Then this was all plotted out, is I've given 16 years to the NBA. Now I'm going to give years going forward to my family. So I don't think he can let anything change that beyond the retirement tour. He said, I believe to his family, I'm committed through this June, if it goes that far, which I don't think it will. And then after that, I'm committed to you. So no, I don't think he has any regrets, because I think family was a huge part of the equation for him.
And I heard this debated today. I wanted to ask you. Joel Embiid last night played a hell of a game and came out and said he's the most unstoppable player in the league. We know that's BS. But who is? Because one guy said Harden, another guy said KD.
I saw that debate this morning, too, and I was fascinated by that question as well, because I immediately defaulted to KD. I don't think that there's a more unstoppable guy just because of his size, but Embiid makes a decent case for it.
And then Harden as well, but I would go with KD.
Well, I would go with Harden because no one has been able to take advantage of the rules more, of drawing fouls. Basically, he has synthesized the rules and realize he can twist and contort them to a point that I think he is among the most unwatchable superstars the NBA has generated in years. Oh boy, Harden's going back to the foul line. Who cares? Who wants to see that? I agree, if you're talking end of the game, Harden's going to have to draw the foul, where KD simply can go above and beyond you with his height, 7-foot jump shooter. But I just don't know if he has the motor that it always matters as much to him. LeBron was always about sort of, you know, killing you. Black Mamba and Kobe Bryant, the same sort of thing. I don't think Durant has that DNA. So, you know, I think Joel Embiid's motor runs that way. And his arrogance and cockiness and self-assuredness maybe puts him into that equation. I'd say one guy, because of the rules, and the rules stink, because he could palm the ball and carry the ball, he could draw a foul, he could jump into you and all of that. James Harden is probably the most unstoppable guy, to the point where I think the league has to change the rules, because, my God, is he unwatchable.
Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel. Things are happening. How's your bracket?
You know what? I went for the emotional thing of picking Nevada over Florida because I thought they were a senior team coming in. The Gators started three freshmen.
Went to Florida.
Yeah, but I just didn't see it happening. So, of course, my son is cursing me out, texting me the entire time last night. So it sort of went south from there, and I'm still not all in on Duke because of all the power conferences. Their combined three-point shooting and foul shooting is the worst among all those teams. So I just think there still might be one game when Duke all of a sudden can hit the three it needs, can make the free throws, I think Gonzaga has a really good and compelling draw. So that's sort of the team I'm looking at right now.
By the way, I should remind basketball fans, the Hurricanes women's basketball team has a game tonight in Coral Gables. They're hosting a tournament game tonight. So, and I think it's a 9 o'clock tip-off. So everyone should go down to Coral Gables and support Coach Katie Meyer, who's one of the best in South Florida. Ira Winderman, he's in Milwaukee. Everybody knows that. You got Heat and Bucks tonight, and he's enjoying. It is such a nice day in South Florida. Ira, I can't even begin to tell you.
Well, that's just because of the view, gentlemen.
Hey, you ain't lying right now. You are
Quit. Play it cool, bro.
So after this show, make sure you bring the flowers home to Mrs. Hockman. Just saying.
I'm trying to find the new Mrs. Hockman as we speak, Ira.
something cool, I will never have a problem with in Milwaukee. Thank you, guys.
I'm putting all my chips in. See you, Ira. Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel. We're live at Hooters in Hialeah. It's the Hooters Hoops Hysteria. We'll take a break and we'll come back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.